Coming up on Patriots This Week, a bummer in Baltimore.
This is all about us. This is all about excuse.
The primetime rematch of last year's AFC Championship, once again rested on the foot of a kicker.
Just couldn't do all the things we needed to do at the end of the game to win it.
The outcome frustrated the quarterback.
Just don't play well when we need to.
And that's disappointing.
Now it's the Buffalo Bills. And will the end of September mean the end to a losing streak?
You know, we gotta play our best when it means the most.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Old-time philosopher Yogi Berra once said, it's deja vu all over again. AFC Championship game, Patriots win. Problem is, they lost 31-30 down in Baltimore against the Ravens. Controversy all night long. Hello again, everybody. I'm Scott Zolak, and welcome to Patriots This Week. And joining me each and every week during the football season, as usual, former linebacker Matt Chatham, former tight end for the Patriots, Jermaine Wiggins. Guys, what happened the first 2 weeks? Is this a defense that we thought was revamped, was better, was younger, all of a sudden met its match in week three?
Well, no, I don't think that so much. I just think the inconsistency issue sort of stuck its head out of the sand here a little bit this week. I think they had some problems where there were some very good series. I mean, there were some great stops in certain situations. They got a great fourth down stop in the middle of the field. They won situationally a couple times. We pointed to that last week as something they needed to do better this week. But in critical situations, there were some breakdowns. And I think that's, you know, it's really boring to say. It kind of is trite, and we end up back at the same place every week. But in critical situations, they made some mistakes, and that's how football works.
Well, yeah, I know you like to get into the matchup part of it. But last week against Arizona, okay, you got a guy like Kevin Cobb. The week before, it's Jake Locker. Now, all of a sudden, Joe Flacco, has he put on his big boy pants, and that's the reason the Ravens won? Do you like Flacco as a quarterback?
Well, I think Flacco's a good quarterback. I still think he's inconsistent. He's in that, you know, Matt Ryan category, that category of they have one really good game and then they have a really poor game. Even in the beginning of the game, Flacco started off kind of slow. And we thought, you know, I thought, here comes Flacco that we're used to seeing. But he was able to come up, make some plays. I think he hasn't made that leap yet. He has to put this, some consistency together and show that he can be an elite quarterback on a consistent period of time. But you know what? He came out, he made the throws when he had to make the throw. I think the biggest thing is he had time.
But bottom line, elite quarterbacks drive the football on long touchdown drives.
Yes.
Four touchdown drives of 80 yards or more, 500 total yards or more from Flacco and company. Ray Rice mix it in. What happened with this defense against them, Matt? As you watch him play, was it the matchup problem? Was Baltimore just, you know, Jacoby Jones, they added him. Was that better for him?
Yeah, I think there were execution issues, quite frankly, just breakdowns. I mean, Jacoby Jones is a nice introduction, sort of the middle of the field. Bolden has kind of been that guy. Now you add another speed element. This week we saw Torrey Smith on the outside, a really effective speed guy who had a big game and an emotional week for him. I think there are some additional elements, but I still think it kind of boils down to what happens inside the box for them. Ray Rice, late leaking plays. I think the problem they got into was some of the broken down plays. It wasn't play development. It was losing sight of Ray Rice in a critical situation, allowing him to gash you for 30 or 40 yards. They had a little bit of a coverage mix-up later in the secondary where you let a guy go free and cover four, and it looked like there was some question about if the corner of safety had him. You know, it's a 30-yard play in a critical drive. So it's generally execution breakdowns, a very hotly contested contest, but those things can happen in critical times.
Talk about Devin McCourty, Wiggy, and what you've seen from him. There have been mixed reviews all week long.
I think the one thing with Devin at times, and there was a play early in the game where he had a nice jam on Torrey Smith. He rolled him to the sideline, and then he was in his hip pocket, made the play on the football. And the other issue that he has to make plays. As a DB, you have to come down with those interceptions. I mean, it's three games so far, and he's had three balls hit his hand. You have to make those plays.
See, I'm with you on that because we've seen Ty Law do it. Mm-hmm. We saw Asante Samuel do it. We even saw Ellis Hobbs do it. Matt, the secondary, looking at it, what were the issues you saw? And did it get affected as the game started, I think, get called a little bit differently? And does that change your philosophy?
A little bit.
From the ref standpoint.
Yeah, I think that makes it confusing for a DB. So it's easy to sit here now and sort of critique these guys. But there was some up and down stuff to where, can I be more aggressive? Can I not be more aggressive? That said, you still have to play a football technique. I know the pass interference that McCourty got at the end of the game in the last drive felt sort of like the Sergio Brown play from last year, where you just give up on run through the guy and pull him down. I mean, that's not a football technique regardless. The other issue tempestuous tackling. And that, to me, is inexcusable. This is not about Ty Law or Asante or elite players and all that. You got to tackle. And that, the play with Gregory and him on the sideline was embarrassing. That was just an easy walk-in play.
And the whole secondary did, because Sterling Moore missed a couple of jams. The touchdown that Arrington gave up, he missed the jam. So
he fell down.
Yeah, that whole,
fell down, no pick.
Secondary, you know, had some opportunities and missed techniques, and that's why they got beaten that secondary.
All right, we're sitting here last week. We're talking about this game, and Tom Brady's record and company against the Ravens is pretty good, 5-1. Statistically, they weren't really a set of his best games. You know, he struggled to move the football. We said it's going to take so – we have to work so hard for every yard. He was 28-41, 335 yards. I haven't seen him play like this in a long time. I thought he was in control the entire game. You couldn't hear in the stadium. He's direct in traffic. What's it like now, first game, life after Aaron Hernandez, and what you saw with Brady?
Well, I think what you saw is they go back to what we saw them before, three wide set. That's pretty much what they are going to be. Now, if you look at Brady, I think the one thing that he did tremendously was his pocket presence. He moved in the pocket. He stepped up. You know, the offense played good. The only real breakdown that I saw with the offensive line came on that last series when they had the ball at midfield, and they let up two sacks, which weren't – they brought – I think it was four men.
People were killing Brady because he had one come strong, but I saw Sebastian Vollmer crash down and turn a guy loose
Brady
couldn't set up.
That's what I –
I'll set on Brady, though.
Yeah, if you look at it, they were basic five-man rushes, and it was breakdown in the line protection, because you had – one time you had Nate Solder step down, and a guy came free off the edge. And on the other side, it was the same thing, and they let the guy come free off the edge. So I think it was more of an offensive line breakdown. But as far as Brady – I think we saw what Brady is, and we know if you give him time and he's starting to get that confidence, he moves in the pocket. He doesn't have to worry about the rush. He shows that great poise, and he's able to play the way he played.
That was actually the thing we highlighted a lot last week. We talked about locating the fifth rusher, and this line did a great job throughout the game.
It really did.
I think their theme actually carries over all the other position groups we talk about, because in those critical situations, they didn't locate the fifth rusher just twice.
Yep.
Not a bad game, but a critical situation, it broke down, and that ended up being the difference.
Only problem I had with the play calling was the reverse, where it seems like you're in control of the game, you're at midfield, cross miss midfield. Now, all of a sudden, you're facing third and 24, whatever the heck it was after that. I thought that killed the momentum.
Well, I think it was interesting, because a lot of heat, they got all the heat this week for that particular call, and they actually ran a very successful reverse with Edelman three plays prior.
In the same series.
And that's what was unusual to me. It's not that reverses are wrong or that gadgets are wrong. The Jaguars, I don't think, should get heat for that. I think that's a good mix with him. And they were very effective and got a first down. The problem is as an outside linebacker and end-of-line guy, if you see it too soon since the last time you see it as the guy they're optioning, it's in the back of your head. You're a little more reverse aware. And the fact that they ran it so close to the last one, I thought was a little bit dangerous, because he was right there waiting for it.
Yeah, and that's the issue that I had. They ran a reverse, and then you ran two reverses on the same series.
So to the same side.
To the same side where players – and the other thing, that the issue that I had with it, it's second and six. In my opinion, as an offensive player, I don't really think that's a reverse or gadget play area. I think more of a gadget or reverse, maybe on a first down, maybe second and one, second and two. But I think –
Shot play.
When you're in that second and six area, you need to pick up a couple yards to at least get you to third and one, third and two, or to get you a first down.
You guys all have kids. You got kids. You got kids. I got kids. I think any one of our kids could sit here and throw this next segment, because the biggest problem with the National Football League through 3 weeks is the officiating, and we get into that next on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster Dumpster in a Bag can take it on. Visit thebagster.com for more info.
Brandon Lloyd is this week's Platinum Player Spotlight. The 10-year pro out of Illinois led the Patriots with 9 catches for 108 yards against the Ravens. And his chemistry with Tom Brady improves each week, a mixture that could be lethal to defenses as the season progresses. This week's Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. And the biggest story this past week, obviously, the referees and that debacle back on Monday night. But everybody breathes a sigh of relief. The referees are back, guys. And Matt, you're probably the smartest of the crew, because you use the biggest words here. What did you make out of the debacle on Monday night?
I think that's sort of the tipping point moment, I guess, because we have a situation where possession, as we all know, is actually controlling the ball. touching the ball is not possession. So you've got a guy who's clearly possessing the ball, another gentleman who's clearly touching it, and that doesn't mean the same thing. You can, you know, you can spin it however which way you want to, and the NFL certainly tried to. But
they read you the rule, yeah. And if you actually read the rule, it rules in favor of Green Bay.
Yeah,
right. But yet they still unequivocally support the decision that was made out in Seattle.
They're covering their own arse. I think this is a situation where a lot of people sort of got thrown under the bus in that statement.
Wiggy, your take on it. Did Golden Tate have possession
whatsoever? He had one hand on the football. Now, it would be one thing if he had it cuffed in between his forearm or something like that, and they both had it cuffed. But you can clearly see that Jennings, the DB, he had it cuffed the high and tight, close to his body. And then as he turned, you saw Tate trying to now get back to him and grab. And you could see the ball was clearly in possessions of Jennings.
That's a crazy call. They should have got it right.
Yeah.
But we're seeing like this perfect storm of weird stuff at the end of the game.
I'm with you. As you sit there and you watch these games, and you clearly can see that there are terrible calls that, you know, that affect the games. So where is the NFL, where is the voice of the NFL saying, okay, we have to do something, we understand, but clearly they look at us like we're all dumb.
If you wanted to leverage the refs into another deal, you need to have a backup. You need a way to push him. I mean, if Tom Brady was in a contract situation, you don't leverage him with Jim Drunken Miller's, you know, old, weird old cousin. Like, you don't.
I played with Jim. It's pretty scary to think what his cousin could look like.
Exactly. But the idea is you're not going to push him into a contract with something that is not leveraged.
New England's 1-2. You have Green Bay 1-2 hosting 0-3 Saints. Pittsburgh's 1-2.
Yeah.
I just think that the upper echelon teams are struggling here at the beginning, and a lot of it's due because I think they're schooled to play the game the right way, and some teams who aren't up to their level are getting away with some things. All right, one of the things that happened over the weekend kind of went under the radar because of all the referee stuff. Darrelle Revis goes down. It's an ACL. Everything they do defensively is centered around him.
Yes, there's three positions on a football field. When you lose those guys, it's very critical. A cornerback, a quarterback, and in my position estimate, a left tackle. You can't just throw anybody in there, kind of hide things, and I think that's going to be the issue that the Jets are going to have.
What I think is a little bit unusual, I was actually a little on the fence as we were heading into the season. We're talking about the changing NFL offense and all these teams trying to go spread, and I wondered how much sense it made. Not that Darrelle Revis' play would have changed. He's still the best corner in the league. That doesn't change anything. But how much does it now matter if you can take one guy away if there's still four other eligible receivers? It made a lot more sense on a team where you got a pro style. You got a fullback, you got a tight end that's not really a receiving guy, and you got two really important guys. If you can wipe Brandon Marshall off the field, that means a lot more because we're talking about an okay tight end, another receiver, and two backs that aren't necessarily receiving guys. In a spread offense, I don't know if being able to wipe one guy is necessarily the best way to build a team because now you really need five pretty good guys as opposed to one great guy and a bunch of okays. So my thinking going forward is it might not affect how they play the Patriots because whoever Darrelle was going to guard, they probably weren't going to get the ball anyhow.
Speaking of the AFC East, Jets are in a division. The Bills are in a division. Let's preview this Buffalo Bill game when we come back on Patriots History. Good news for the Patriots this week. No C.J. Spiller. Bad news. They still got to face Stevie Johnson. He can kill you multiple ways. Take a look at it outside. He's up top. I call this the smash route. Go ahead and roll the tape. He's going to come down inside. Why is this special? Watch the catch. 3-yard little pass, takes it, creases it. We call this yards after catch. So Johnson can take it short, he can find a crease, and he can get there. All right, let's see where they put him throughout the formation. Take a look at him. He's up top right here in the slot. Cover two, big hole. What's Ryan Fitzpatrick like to do? Throw it early, five-step drop. Right there, almost broke the safety's legs. And the last one right here, watch him come in motion. Here you go. Everybody in the stadium knows who's getting the ball. Red zone, Stevie Johnson. Where's he going? Working in the middle. Little bang route right there down inside the red zone. He'll kill you short, kill you medium, kill you deep. Find out where Stevie is at all times. There's your key. The Patriots head to Buffalo this weekend, and you look at the Buffalo Bills. They're sitting there 2-1. I don't think the team's better than New England, but, guys, here we are almost 4 weeks into the season. This is a big game. First divisional game of the season. You're on the road. We remember what happened last year up there this time. Big lead early in the game. Buffalo comes back. Big names in the offseason. Of course, we've got old friend Mark Anderson goes there. But the biggest one, probably the best defensive player in the league, Mario Williams, signs the huge contract. They lure him to Buffalo. Are they different defensively? Matt, start with you, with Dave Wannstedt's defense.
They've got a very disruptive front, and I think that's important. They got the two Williams, Kyle Williams and Mario Williams. Darius is a really good D-tackle.
Yeah, he is. He's big.
He is, and he's in the backfield a lot. And you should never forget about Chris Kelce, who's also there and is a 10-year guy and is a very good pass rusher. Mark and him kind of rotate, and they move guys around. So they really try to win with the front four. They've got a solid group of linebackers, a relatively young secondary, but it's really all about them. You actually saw Cleveland last week use double wing and chip both ends and then release. It was interesting. They're gonna, on every production, we're going to chip the ends and then release out into the pattern. So it's a different way to approach them, but I think controlling that front four is a big thing.
Wiggy, they also draft high, and they try to bolster their secondary. They get some nice pieces in there. Does this defensive unit have confidence against this New England team? They played pretty well against them last two times they faced them.
Well, I think they have confidence, and I think if you look at the game from last year, they played well defensively. They had a couple interceptions in game. I think Brady might have threw four that game. So if you look at them, they have the confidence. Now you throw a guy like Mario Williams in, who's going to give that defense even more confidence. I think they feel pretty good. Hey, we know that the Patriots are coming off two losses. They got to come to Buffalo. You know, we're coming off at two wins. We're in a position right now that if we can win this game, we could put some nice distance between us and the Patriots.
Offensively, 2 weeks in a row, you got to deal with crowd noise. What did you guys used to do in the past to get ready for that?
Well, clearly was that you obviously do the music. You try to go on silent count. You as a player, you have to really focus in, pay attention, try to peripher the ball out of your vision, especially if you're on the end of the line of scrimmage. Communication has to be down the line of scrimmage from the center, guards, all the way down to the tackles, the tight ends, for protection.
C.J. Spiller is going to be out because of the shoulder. Freddie Jackson's back in, but he still has the knee issue. Fitzpatrick gets rid of the football. And the one thing you look at this team last year, that ball's out. They didn't get pressure, Matt, last week against Baltimore. How do you get to Fitzpatrick if you couldn't get to Flacco?
Fitzpatrick is a guy who gets a lot of balls batted down, had that problem against Cleveland. Does get the ball out quickly, but if you can get him out of the pocket, he's a little bit of an improviser. He's a little bit like Favre. Like, he'll go down and sling it, and a lot of his completions happen not in the normal breadth of the pattern, but after plays are broken. Broken guys that sort of rerun their routes. So I think he's a guy that is going to be creative, but he's going to make mistakes. You're going to get those pick-and-nick baskets, and you're going to have to take advantage of them when they come.
Any way Stevie Johnson gets behind this defense?
If you're the Patriots defense, you have to look at it. Well, C.J. Spiller just got hurt. Fred Jackson, 70-75% is what they're saying. So what do we have to do?
Keep him between the tackles, Jackson. Yeah.
Well, but we don't even know how healthy he's going to be. So what do we need to do as a defense? Let's take away this passing game. What's our strength is our defensive run and make Buffalo run the football.
Buffalo's a very big gadget team. I think we need to keep an eye on that. They're big with the flip play, where they send you one direction, flip the ball back the other way. There's often, very often, a reverse element. There always is a guy in motion with the threat
That's
of a reverse.
Point.
They also, the also way that they like to set up Stevie and the way they work him is they'll go in the spread type stuff, but they'll go three by one. They'll isolate him. Send three, make you send the coverage. If they figure out your wink link and they're going to watch last week's tape and make a determination of who they think that is, isolate him, send him backside. A lot of back shader foot, a lot of deep comebacks, a lot of fades. There's a way to separate him from the rest of the coverage to try to force the ball his way.
Good stuff. Our pick segment is next. We'll tell you who we like and why when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. By Bose, the official sound of the Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Week 4 of the Fantasy Lowdown, I'm Brian Lowe, and we kick it off with Oakland's Denarius Moore, a must-start at Denver. Expect him to be the most targeted Raider wideout and to score for the second straight week. Sit Cam Newton, just 2 TD passes and 5 interceptions on the year, heading into the Georgia Dome where he was pitiful last year. And Ryan Williams is now the Cardinals' lead back hosting Miami. Give him a shot as a Week 4 sleeper. Enjoy this weekend's action and the real refs, and I'll check back next week on the Fantasy Lowdown, presented by Verizon, the official wireless and telecommunications provider of the Patriots.
Time now for our pick segment. All right, guys. Matt, let's start with you. Do they lose 3 games in a row? Can't even believe I'm asking you that. Do they lose in Buffalo? If they do, what's the score?
Well, in the event that they're sort of...
Come on, have the guts.
Chicken Little-ism next week. We don't want to be dealing with that. I feel like it's going to be a very competitive game, but I still believe the Patriots come out on top 28-20.
Oh, close one. What do you got, Wiggy?
Well, I like the Patriots in this one, 28-14. I don't see them losing three in a row. It's just not happening. Not this Patriots team.
They go on the road last week. Hostile environment. They put 30 on the board against Baltimore. They just didn't close out that game. So I'm going to take the Patriots in this game. Believe it or not, yeah, there's a homer for you. 37-23. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. You can join us each and every week during this football season. Same time, same place for Matt Chatham. For Jermaine Wiggins, thanks for watching. Join us next time on Patriots This Week.